have the love of Christ, and yet maybe just a bit less marvelous and wonderful is our opportunity to come together on an occasion such as this. Today is a key day. It's a day toward which we've been looking. We've had what I believe to be a good summer here at the Henderson Church, especially in the last few weeks. We think we are ready for a great year as you students come back and join us in the work here in Henderson. I had the opportunity yesterday to help some of you unload at Scott Hall. I am amazed at how they can get all the new students on the third floor and how much some of those girls can get in one room. After we'd unloaded one, I wondered where the roommate was going to stay. And Brother Sewell, if things continue as they are, I might just volunteer to help raise money to get some elevators in some of those dorms. Even after I left Scott and went over to Dixon to find one of the young ladies that we'd known for years, guess where? Third floor. Well, I got my exercise yesterday. It is great to have each of you here. Let me take just a moment to say to you parents, we are interested in your students when you leave them with us. We're here to help in every way that we can. There is seldom a Lord's Day but that our elders discuss something about how we can reach out to the students. I appreciate their leadership as they lead the local congregation and also reach out to those that come in as students. Judy and I live in the two-story house on the corner just behind the church parking lot here. And students, you are welcome at our door day or night. Are welcome to call if we can help. Call me if you need something and I'll send somebody. We are thankful that you are here. We want you in our midst. I'm grateful this morning to have most of my personal family here. It's a great day. We're just looking forward to the events that are ahead. Most of you are aware that we have an 8 o'clock service on Sunday morning. I think we had well over 200 at that service this morning. We have an early service on Wednesday night at 5:45. Many of you students will probably want to take advantage of that. Have the regular services, regular classes at 7. And I hope that we can fill this building enough on Sunday nights that we have to go to 2 services on Sunday night. I like to talk. If you don't believe it, hang around a little while. We are so glad that you are here. We are looking forward to the next few days ahead. Many of you are changing relationships today. In the week that's ahead, many of you are leaving home for the first time. Many of you parents will be leaving this afternoon or tomorrow, and you'll be going back home with relationships having changed a bit. Even for those of us who live here in Henderson on a regular basis, we see our relationships change as new people come in, as some graduate and leave. Especially from August through May, we have many different relationships, some that we do not have to that extent at least and to that degree during the summer months. We are certainly thinking about relationships with others and relationships with God. And yet, folks, I am convinced beyond a doubt that if we are going to get along with each other and serve God, we must first learn how to get along with self. So this morning and this evening, I want to bring 2 lessons that sound contradictory but are not. Love not thyself and love thyself. Self-love is condemned in the Bible, but self-love is commanded in God's Word. There is a type of self-love that can cause problems in the lives of people. There is another type of self-love that will cause problems if it's not there in the lives of people. And so this morning, love not thyself, and this evening, love thyself. Yesterday, I helped carry some rather large packages. This morning, I want to tell you about the smallest package in the world. The smallest package in the world is a person wrapped up in himself. You just can't get any smaller than that. In the passage of Scripture that Andy read a few minutes ago from Matthew 16, Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you must first deny yourself. and then take up your cross, and then follow me. Self-denial. A lack of self-love in that sense. You and I are not really ready to reach out to worship God and serve others, and we serve God through serving others, until we are ready to analyze self and put self in proper focus and really deny self in the true sense of the word. Notice three passages of Scripture for the next 2 or 3 minutes. One is Romans 12, verse 3. Paul, in that great chapter, said, "I want to encourage every person not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think." Now, I would pause long enough to say that there's another side to that, and that's what we'll be discussing tonight. I'm concerned about people who think too lowly of themselves also. But for the moment, think about what he said there. A person ought not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. There has to be the proper perspective relative to God and relative to self. And if I cannot get along with myself and understand myself, how am I going to get along with anybody else? You see, I must learn to put up with self, because self is going with me wherever I go. When I leave this service, I'll take self with me. Tonight I'm going to bed with myself. In the morning I'll get up with myself. And whether or not you go to school or to work or whatever your activities, you're going to take self with you. And if you can't get along with self, you're going to have some problems. So it is very important that a person not have that kind of self-love that causes one to think that he is better than he is, to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. I'm persuaded that if I were to ask all of you, especially you younger people this morning, to take a sheet of paper and a pencil and list the qualities that you like the least in other people, that you would not go many lines until you had said something about being snobbish or stuck up or selfish. You just don't like those qualities in other people. And if you don't like them in others, remember that others do not like them in you. The second scripture is in Romans 1, especially verses 29 and 30, in a setting where there's a list of some of the most outrageous sins that are found anywhere in the Bible. In fact, Paul has just talked about those who would change the truth of God into a lie, who would change their adoration from the Creator to the creature, who would even change their natural affection to that which is not natural. And he begins to list some tremendous problems, to the extent that he says God gives some of these over to a reprobate mind. And people are just wallowing in the mire of sin, if you look at the last verse or two of that chapter. But in verse 29, he mentions covetousness. And then I believe there's one between, and then he mentions full of envy. In verse 30, he mentions proud and boasters. It's rather interesting when you start reading almost any list that has to do with sin, where the end result is like the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, Revelation 21:8. He includes those who are covetous, those who have envy and a false pride and an attitude of boasting in their hearts. You know, sometimes we don't think of those problems as being as great as some of these others. Oh, you start listing adultery and fornication and idolatry and drunkenness and stealing. Oh, those are sins. But isn't it interesting that right in the same list we have those who are covetous, wanting something that belongs to another, envious, instead of being able to rejoice with those that rejoice, to rejoice with the one who makes a good grade, who gets a promotion at the job, who has success in life, we are envious of them. And maybe at least wish that they didn't have as much, even if we don't gain too much, that they don't have as much, so that we bring them down to our level, or would like to, instead of challenging ourselves to rise to that level. Then there's that attitude of pride. Yes, there is a sense of pride that each of us needs that brings about cleanliness and neatness and things of that nature. We even use the word pride in that sense, that a person has some pride in himself, and that's good. That's not the kind of pride that's being talked about. Oh, the person who is so proud that he just sort of wants to stand back a little bit from other people, afraid he'll get his clothes dirty with someone else, and his nose is so far up in the air that he would drown if it rained, and takes up so much of his face that he can't see the good things around him. He is so proud. And then there is the boaster. Oh, look what I can do. Look how great I am, how big I am, what I can accomplish. And so many of us have trouble with group boasting. We boast about what the group can do when most of the time it's the others in the group that are doing something instead of us. Look what I can do. It's that kind of work that is condemned in the setting of the faith and grace of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, those works of merit where I brag about what I can do. Covetous, envy, envious, false sense of pride, and boasting. We need to get away from those things. And I will guarantee you today that if you will try your best to stay away from those characteristics and build into your life just the opposite, that you will have more friends, you will enjoy every day more, and you will attain a higher degree of success than you would have otherwise. Look with me for just a moment at some examples that are found in the Bible that point this out. The kind of self-love which is condemned and needs to be set apart. We'll stay in the book of Luke with the examples this morning. First, Luke 12. Rich farmer. He had a great harvest. What am I going to do? I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns. I'll take care of all of this. For whom? For self. I'll say, soul, be at ease. You've got everything you could need. You've got everything you could want. Be at ease and take it easy. Take all of this in for yourself. God had something to say to that man that night. He called him a fool and told him that he was going to lose all of this. The very grain or the harvest, whatever was harvested that was brought in, wasn't worth anything to him because he lost it all even that night. He was selfish. He was looking inwardly all the time. What's in it for me? What can I gain from it? I'm not able to find anything in that story that indicates that there's a problem with a good harvest. I don't even think there's an indication that there was a problem with his wanting to build bigger barns to take care of the harvest. The problem was, instead of looking down the road and seeing a neighbor who didn't have enough to eat, or over across the street on the other side and seeing somebody whom he could help, and saying, you know, I've had such a great harvest. Well, look, there's plenty for me, more than I could ever want. Look at the many people that I can reach out and help. Instead of doing that, he just shut himself in. And he put self ahead of all of these others. And God condemned him. Luke 16. This is another story of a rich man. This time, a certain rich man and a certain man named Lazarus, a beggar. This rich man evidently had all he could eat. All he could wear, he fared sumptuously every day, wore expensive clothing. Indication is that the surroundings of his dwelling was something great. And here's a beggar man. All the beggar man's asking is just give me some crumbs. Just give me enough to eat and live. Just give me the crumbs. And evidently this rich man had no mercy for him. He could not only have given him the crumbs and never missed it, he could have given him everything that he needed and never missed it. But he could not see past himself to see the needs of somebody else. He was using his time and his effort and his thoughts to think about his own needs. And he could not see the needs of someone else. And I especially want to address this to you students. It is easy sometimes to become so focused with tunnel vision on that certain test or that certain goal or that certain thing that you want that you don't look around and see the needs of somebody else, somebody who may be hurting, who may need just a handshake or a pat on the back or an encouraging word. And it's not just you students, it's all of us who face that every day. The third story is in Luke 18. You're familiar with the two men who went to pray, one a Pharisee and one a publican. The publican was so humble that he would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. He simply said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Pharisee and probably others would have looked at that publican and thought, oh, what a bad fellow he is. He's not worth very much. I have an idea that the Pharisee sort of looked at the publican as halfway human, at least second-class human. The old Pharisee said, God, you ought to be proud that you've got me on your side. I'm summarizing. He said, God, look what a fine specimen of a fellow I am. Look at all I do with my tithes, and look how I do to help other people. I want you to look at just how great a person I am. And let me tell you, God, I'm thankful I'm not like that fellow over there. The Bible says that the fellow over there went away with more blessings than the Pharisee. Pharisee thought himself to be better than someone else. And if you ever allow yourself to think that you are better than somebody else, you've got a problem. Rich farmer turned inwardly to himself. The rich man with Lazarus couldn't see past his own selfish desires to understand the needs of others. And the Pharisee thought himself to be better than others. You see why we say this morning, love not thyself. But I'm thankful that we can back up after looking at 12, 16, and 18 and look at chapter 10 in Luke. You know the story as the Good Samaritan. And if you took the time to analyze the story, you would see some of these other fellows in it. There are those who robbed the man. They wanted what he had. They were selfish. There was the priest and the Levite who went by on the other side. They could not see, or at least did not have time to meet the needs. But there was the most unlikely fellow in the bunch, the Samaritan, who denied himself to help take care of somebody else. He went as far as he could go to take care of the wounds. He took the man where he could receive the necessary help. He paid what he could, and he said, if there's more, I'll take care of it when I come back through. Now there is the man who knew how to deny himself and put others first and reach out to them. And I submit to you, that's the kind of people we need. Whether we live here in Henderson on a regular basis, or whether you're a student who's here for 9 months, or whether you're parents who just visit with us on occasion, I don't care who you are, where you are, what you are. Somehow or other, we've got to get away from the concept of that rich farmer and that rich man and that Pharisee and get more Samaritans in our midst. To where we love not self, and we put others and God first. In the passage that was read this morning as a text for our study, Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you've got to deny yourself. Now that doesn't mean to fail to have faith in self. As I said, we'll talk about that in the other phase of this. But it means you've got to put self in proper focus and realize there are others and there's God. And if you're going to be a good student, if you're going to be a good son or daughter, a good parent, a good employee, employer, if you're going to be a good Christian, you must learn to live with yourself and to not have this kind of self-love that's condemned. The best way to do that is just to be a good old New Testament Christian. Any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, that's becoming a Christian, and follow me, that's living the Christian life. Jesus extends his invitation to take up his cross. He encourages us as penitent believers to be baptized into him, to take up the cross, and then he says, follow me, live for me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And in reality this morning, as the Lord extends his invitation, and we encourage you to think about it, especially those who are not Christians, those who may be wayward children of God, it simply boils down, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. As together we stand and sing.